Well, hello there.
Hello, Mrs. Simmons. I'm Sally Burlington. I spoke with you on the phone the other day. I'm from the news reporter from News and Ledger.
What's that?
I said my name is Sally. We spoke on the phone the other day.
No. What's the News and Ledger? I can hear just fine, baby.
I'm sorry. The News and Ledger is a newspaper out of Chicago. I spoke to you on the phone and asked if I could come ask you questions about your granddaughter's murder.
My sweet baby's been killed?
Oh,
No, God, I'm sorry. Say it isn't so. Murdered. What?
Your granddaughter Tiffany was killed 12 years ago, and I'm here.
Oh, baby, I'm just kidding. You're as cute as a button. No, I may be 86 years old, but I'm as sharp as a tack, and if you can't laugh at tragedy, what can you laugh at? And I know my sweet baby Tiffany is looking down on me right now and just laughing, laughing, laughing.
You certainly are a surprising lady. Would it be okay if I ask you some questions?
Well, yes, you wouldn't be the first to ask and certainly won't be the last. So you ask away, sweetheart.
I'll warn you, some of this could be painful to relive.
I will be just fine.
Can you take me back to that day? Can you tell me what happened?
Oh, well, it was a chilly day. It was March the 4th, 2008, and it was chilly. And I remember it being chilly because I told Tiffany that she needed to wear a sweater. And she said, no, I'm not going to wear a sweater. And I said, oh, yes, you are going to wear a sweater. And so eventually she listened because the girl knew who's boss. And so she went off to work. And, you know, she had only been working there for a couple weeks. And she really liked that new job at BB's Automotive Supply and Live Bait Shop. Have you seen those commercials? Woo-hoo. That BB, he's a looker. I'm here to tell you, he's a sexy, sexy man. And where was I? Oh yes. So she was working on that day, and she was supposed to get off at 7 o'clock because that's when they close in the wintertime. And so it was about closing time, and that's when he came in. See, she was supposed to get off that night and go out with friends. And then she was going to go spend the night with her best friend. But, you know, and while she was gone, my boyfriend Harold was going to be coming over. I sure do miss that man. That was a nice thing about her getting off so early in the wintertime and having a job so he could come over. Those were good times. I sure do miss that man. But so I wasn't expecting anyone to come over that night. Well, you know, except Harold. Sure do miss that man. And so when the police came to my door, I was very, very surprised.
What did he tell you when he got to your door?
He told me that my baby had died.
I can't imagine how hard that must have been.
It was the hardest thing that I ever have been through in my entire life. It was even harder than when my husband died in a car accident. Of course, he was just a good-for-nothing drunk, and I honestly don't miss him too much at all. And so he just left me and Bart Jr. by ourselves. And when he died, Bart Jr. began to treat his daddy like he was some sort of a hero and decided he was going to act just like him. And so he turned out to be a good-for-nothing drunk, too. And the only difference between Bart Jr. and his daddy was the woman he hooked himself to. Because, you see, he hooked himself to somebody not much better than he was. Only she wasn't a drunk. She was a junkie. And then when Tiffany was about 12 years old, she OD'd. And, you know, my son, he just left that poor child on my front doorstep and drove away, and we haven't seen that man since. Poor girl had to go through so much. She struggled in school at first and struggled to make friends, but over time and through a lot of prayer, she started getting better and better. And do you know that she was accepted into state college? And she was going to be going there in the fall after it happened, and you know, it was, everything looked so bright for her, and she had turned so much things around, sweet, special girl with so many friends. So many friends.
If it's not too painful, could you please tell me what happened that day at BB's?
Well, of course, I wasn't there, but the policeman told me, and also I saw the videos over and over again of the surveillance during the trial. So I'll try to tell you as best as I know. It like I said before, it was about closing time. It was about 7 o'clock, and that's when he came in.
He being?
Tracy Hammerson. He came in the store, and he was wandering around he was a normal customer. He was looking at some of the auto supplies like brake pads and spark plugs, and then he was looking at the live bait too, you know, the crickets and the earthworms and whatnot. And so he waited for all the other customers to leave, and that's when he went up to the cash register where Tiffany was working, and he asked to see Betty. Well, Betty, as it turned out, was his estranged wife, who had left him just weeks before, and he was pretty upset, and it appeared that he was also quite intoxicated, which, from what I understand, was kind of normal for him, maybe why the poor baby left him, you know. And so she asked to see Betty. Well, as I told you, my sweet Tiff, she had only worked there for a couple weeks and did not know anyone named Betty. And so she told him, there's no Betty working here. And he said, I need to speak to Betty. And she said, there's no Betty working here. And he said it again, I need to speak to Betty. And by that time, he was getting mighty upset. And you could see, because his face started turning a bright red, you know, and his veins were popping out. And she kept saying, and I got to give it to my poor baby. She kept calm. And then all of a sudden, he pulled out a gun and waved it in her face. And he said he wanted to see Betty right now. And he was screaming and yelling. And she was trying her best to stay calm. But I could see that the fear in my poor baby's eyes. And as the commotion happened, all of a sudden, Mr. James White, the store manager, he heard what was going on. And he walked up. Only I don't think poor Tracy heard the man coming, and so when he spoke to him, it startled him, and he turned around and he shot the gun 2 times, bang bang, and Mr. White rolled on the floor, and it hit him twice in the abdomen, and his lung deflated, and he was in bad shape, but he was still conscious. And so Tracy started saying to him, "Where's my Betty? Where's my Betty?" Well, thankfully, Mr. Hammerson did know where Betty was, and Betty was supposed to be working that day, but she got sick and was unable to come in. But sadly, Mr. Hammerson, he didn't believe Mr. White, and so he kept yelling at him again and again, and eventually, as Mr. White rolled over, he shot him one more time directly in the back. And at that point, my baby Tracy, she screamed and screamed, and so Tracy turned back around with the gun, and then he said, "I want the money then," and he said some other words that I don't like to say words like that, sweetheart. He was just a potty mouth, you know, and so he shot her in the leg.
Wait, she was shot in the leg? I thought.
Yes, she was shot just one time in the leg, but it hit her in the femoral artery, you see. And so while she was still alive, she was able to call 911 after he came around and got money, a whole $210 out of the cash register. But she bled to death while she was on the phone with 911 people, and it was just so sad. Just for $210, my baby died.
What happened next?
Well, it took a little while to figure out who he was, because while the police had great surveillance cameras, because Mr. BB, you know, and he's not just cute, he's smart too, he had the best equipment there was in that place. And so they saw who it was, and they could hear that they were looking for Betty. Well, nobody knew who Betty was, because as it turned out, the only person that called her Betty was Tracy, her husband. Her real name was Maggie Hammerson. And so it wasn't until Mr. White came out of surgery. Oh, did I tell you? He lived, by the way, baby. He lived. When he came out of surgery, he was able to say that it was Maggie Hammerson. And then, of course, they knew it was Tracy. And so they raced over to her house, but sadly, he had already been there. And they found her body that was badly beaten, and she had been stabbed 47 times and shot 5 times, just for good measure, I guess. But then Mr. Hammerson had taken off on his motorcycle, and by then it had been a whole day that he had to run away before anybody knew to look for him. And there was a nationwide manhunt that went on, and he was missing for 6 months before they finally found him in the North Carolina mountains.
Thank you. That couldn't have been easy. Would you mind fast-forwarding a little bit to the trial? What was that like for you?
Oh, that was almost as tough as hearing the news that she had died. Every day for a whole week, having to relive it over and over again. And they just kept playing that surveillance tape. And then they would back it up and watch a little bit again, and back it up and watch a little bit again. And then they would back it up and watch a little bit again. And they would say what happened. And then they showed all these horrible, horrible pictures of Mr. White and my baby Tiffany on the floor. And it was so very disturbing. And it was horrible, horrible from the start to finish.
How did Mr. Hammerson act during the trial?
Well, it's the strangest thing, baby. He acted as if he didn't even care. Like all of this had happened, and you know, he killed 2 people, and you know, and had permanently injured another one, and he just sat there like it was nothing. It was the strangest thing to me that he cared nothing about the human lives that he had taken and ruined.
What was it like when he was found guilty?
Oh, baby, that was so sad. Everybody was clapping and cheering and shaking hands and patting each other on the back, and they were so happy, but I wasn't happy at all. To me, it was quite sad, because first there's the 2 people that died, and then poor Mr. White that, you know, he was permanently injured, and now there was 1 more life that was lost to the world. And I found it very, very sad.
And then came the victim income statements, impact statements. That's the day you gave the speech called The Speech That Changed Everything. And I got to ask you, Ms. Beulah, can you remember what you wrote in that speech?
Oh, baby, that was so long ago. I don't really remember what I said in that speech. I mean, I know I said some things about, you know, how I felt and things like that. You know, I talked about forgiveness, I think, and God's love.
Can I ask you one final question?
Sure, baby.
Why? Why would you say those things? Why would you let him off the hook like that? There's no doubt he would have been given the death penalty if you hadn't begged the judge not to do it. And then you forgave him.
I'm sorry. Do you have, by any chance, do you have the words that I said so I could remember?
Yes, I do. Here it is.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Could I read this to you?
Sure.
I said, "Thank you, Your Honor, Mr. Stevenson, for working so hard to bring Mr. Hammerson to justice." That was the prosecutor, you see. All the police who worked so hard to investigate, and even you, Mr. Defense Attorney. I'm sorry I can't remember your name. Most of all, I thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, for spending a whole week out of your lives here for this senseless tragedy. And that's what it is. It's a senseless tragedy. Mr. Hammerson, I know you were having it tough that day. I'm sure it hurt you when your wife left and You were all mixed up on drugs and alcohol, but that's no excuse. Lots of people get divorced. Lots of people get mixed up with bad stuff. They don't go around killing innocent people like my sweet Tiffany. I brought this picture here for you to see her face. Look at it. You killed her. You saw her in the last moments of her life. The least you could do is look at her when she was all dolled up, looking like the princess that she was. You took this perfect angel away. Not just from me, but from the entire world. Did you know that she was planning to be a social worker? She wanted to help little kids like her who had been through all kinds of bad things growing up. She wanted to help kids so they wouldn't end up like you, Mr. Hammerson. And it's a real shame. It's a shame you went there that day. It's a shame that you shot poor Mr. White. It's a shame that you killed my granddaughter. And it's a shame that you killed your sweet wife. I don't know what she did to you, but I know that she didn't need to die. She didn't have to die, Tracy. Nobody does. Nobody does, Your Honor. And that's why I wanted you to ask you if you'll spare this man's life. There's no reason for anybody else to die. I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve it. He does. But we all do. We've all done wrong, and honestly, we all deserve to die. But Jesus Christ went to the cross on our behalf. He died so nobody else had to. He died so our sins might be forgiven. So please, Your Honor, please don't let my baby's death be a reason for someone else's. And I just want to say one more thing to you, Mr. Hammerson, if that's okay. Mr. Hammerson, I forgive you. And that's what I said there that day.
Thank you for reading that. And you forgave him? How could you do that?
Well, baby, in my lifetime, I've done a lot of bad things. I think we've all done a lot of bad things, and everybody does. But you see, no matter how bad I've done, I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And the cross, you see, the cross changes everything. Because Jesus died, all our sins are forgiven. And he didn't just die for me or for you. He died for everybody. And that included Mr. Hammerson. And because of that, because Jesus can forgive me, I knew I was supposed to forgive Tracy Hammerson that day.
You're quite an amazing woman. Do you realize how many lives you've changed that day in court?
Not many, nearly as many lives as Jesus changed that day on the cross, my dear.
Thank you for answering my questions.
Anytime. It was so lovely having you. You're just a cute little girl. Oh my goodness. It was so nice meeting you. So nice meeting you. And you have a good day, okay?
You too.
And you know your way out.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll see you some other time, okay?
Thank you.